Subscriber's amazingly ultimate fundraising superstar podcast, talking all things fundraising, charities, nonprofits, and more. Here's your host, as always, Simon Scriver.
Hello, fundraisers, nonprofit people, charity people, and anyone at all who's watching this on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, or fundraisingeverywhere.com itself. My name is Simon Scriver. How are you all doing? If you haven't seen one of these before, this is your weekly episode of Fundraising Everywhere TV. What is Fundraising Everywhere TV, you might ask, if you've never seen it before? Is it informative? Is it educational? Is it humorous? It's probably none of those. I don't really know what it is. It's like a music hall, but it's like a smorgasbord, if you will, of different things which are kind of related to nonprofit sector, kind of useful, kind of helpful. But is it technically work? Is it technically useful? It's hard to say. It's hard to say. There's some good stuff in here anyway. So I apologize. I was not around last week and I'm late this week. I'll tell you what happened very quickly and then I'm going to show you some good stuff. Last week I had no water in my apartment, which was a total shit show, obviously, with all the COVID-19 stuff going on. That was awful. So that's been fixed and that's good. So I'm back on track. But then this week we were really, really busy with a couple of events on Fundraising Everywhere. We had Iwitot. I wish I'd thought of that, for those who don't know what Iwitot is. So if you didn't see Iwitot, you can actually still watch it back. You can still buy tickets and watch the recording. It was awesome. It was really, really good. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'd actually never been to a real life Iwitot, so I finally got to attend one. And great hosts, great speakers, really good. Looking forward to finding out who the winner is, if I don't already know. So that was Iwitot, and then we had the Charity Film Awards. And so, yeah, they kind of took up a lot of time this week. So they both happened on Tuesday, and I had to push this back a little bit. So here we go. But next week, let's try and get back on track, because everything's a bit more manageable from next week. So I'm not going to stick around here today. I'm not going to do a whole live bit today. I usually do a live bit, but I'm homeschooling and I have some stuff to do. But I have some cool stuff to show you today. I have an interview which I recorded. It was kind of as COVID-19 was kicking off, or maybe just before, with my old friend Patrick Allen, who is a bit of a legend, a bit of an expert on the telephone. He's great. He knows all his stuff about cold calling, about appointment setting, about, you know, how to make those calls to businesses and people. And I thought it was especially relevant at the moment because many of us are being forced onto the phone when maybe we didn't particularly want to. So I've got a little interview with him. He is an old friend, so there's a lot of waffle in it. But there's also some good stuff in there because he's a really smart guy and fantastic. And then after that, we have a couple of double bills because we missed last week. We have a double bill of the Drunk Chef, John Lepp. So we're going to have two Drunk Chef episodes, which is awesome. I believe one of them has a guest appearance from John's business partner, Jen Love, but more importantly, a guest appearance from Jen Love's daughter, Sadie, who will be cooking with the Drunk Chef, which doesn't sound like a very good idea. But if you've never met Sadie, if you don't know Sadie, you should check this out because she's adorable. And then what have we got? We've got a double bill of Goals Gone Wild. With the ladies chatting about a couple different things. And these are always really, really entertaining. So they'll be up. And then we have a double bill of Howard Lake, tickling the ivories and playing us some music, kind of fundraising related music. No, not exactly. But Howard Lake is a great musician. And so we've got a couple of his stings in there. Are there any other surprises? I'm not sure there are any other surprises. So that's what we're doing this week. We're not doing the kind of live chats and live questions and stuff and everything, but we'll be back with a full live element next week, as well as more Drunk Chef, more Girls Gone Wild, more who knows what else. Kashana TV might be back. Mo, the Unsteady Hand, might be back. We might have some new surprises lined up for you. But I like this stuff because you can watch this and you can pretend you're working when you're not actually working. So do try and join us each week. So there you go. So I'm going to shut up. I'm going to say goodbye to you. And I'm just going to play you this little ad for the Fundraising Everywhere Festival, which is only a couple of weeks away or 3 weeks away. Not too late to get your tickets for the Fundraising Everywhere conference, which is happening in a couple of weeks. And then we're going to go straight into my interview with Patrick Allen, legend Patrick Allen. And then, as I said, Drunk Chef, Goals Gone Wild, and Howard Lake. Just on a more serious note, I just have to point out Goals Gone Wild ladies are based in Nova Scotia. And if you heard the news, I hadn't heard the news because it didn't really make it to Ireland, I suppose, in everything. But there was a mass shooting in Nova Scotia, and I believe it was the largest mass shooting that Canada has ever seen. So there's some reference to that, just to warn you. Obviously, I'm thinking of everyone that I know out that way, especially the ladies from Girls Gone Wild. Thank you for still sending this episode across, even in the midst of all that. I really appreciate it. And I just, yeah, sending love and good thoughts to everyone who's affected by it, or who's, you know, who's seen that stuff going around. It's just one thing we don't really need right now, obviously. And yeah, it's just pretty shitty. So just to warn you that that will come up, that will be mentioned. But as well, you know, that's just a little part. And then they get into the meat of the episodes, which is really, really good stuff. So that's it, my friends. That's the live thing signing off today, but we'll have a bigger live session next week. I've got some potentially good guests. Not that they're potentially good, but that they're good and going to be potentially guests who are going to be joining next week. So do tune in. And obviously you can take part. And that's the great thing about Fundraising Everywhere TV. You can comment, you can post stuff on social media, and I'll see it and we'll talk about it with whoever the guests are. And more than that, sometimes you can even come on and you can come on and chat depending on what we're talking about. So it's all good. So there you go. I hope you're all doing well. I hope you're all surviving and managing all this stuff. I know it's very difficult. I know a lot of people are hitting walls, having bad days, having big blips, struggling with balancing the personal stuff and the work stuff, and also struggling with whoever they're living with, because you can't escape them. So thoughts with all of you. I hope you're all doing all right. We'll get through this. And just give us a shout if there's anything I can ever do for you. But there you go. That's me. I'll talk to you later. Lovely to see you all.
What I wish I'd known when I first started fundraising.
What I wish I'd known.
Something that we wish we knew when we first started out.
What we wish we'd known.
One thing I wished I'd learned when I raised my first dollar for nature in 1969.
Something I wish I had discovered much earlier in my career.
What I wish that I'd known when I first started my fundraising career.
And I'm going to bend the rules a little bit around that.
And mine's this.
you want to describe it, then that hopefully A, differentiates you from the other guys who are not doing it, who are just trying to go in there for the money. And as I say, keeping going back to it, but it shows integrity. It shows that you're not just looking to get their money.
Mm. You said at the beginning there about who you're calling, and obviously who you're calling is, you know, as important, sometimes more important than what you're actually saying on the phone. How do you guys and your staff and all the people you work with, how do you figure out who to call? Are you just going through, do they even still make the yellow pages? I don't know, but do you just like go through the Googled yellow pages, or how do you narrow it down to the people who are most likely to entertain this conversation?
Sure. So typically the stage where someone would look to engage with me, as in a client would look to use my services, I would hope that they have a pretty good idea of the type of the industry that they need to sell their products to, who within that particular industry is likely to make decisions within the company. So they would have in their mind the industry, the person that makes the decisions in terms of whether or not they should buy products, and if they've got those things, then typically you're on to a good start. If you don't have those things, then you really need to think about who you are targeting, because it's a big old world out there. So
then your I suppose more so now your kind of staff or your team, or you know, because you're a bit of a big deal now, I imagine you don't make as many calls yourself, but when you're working down this list of people you're going to call, what kind of prep do you do? Is it literally like you're going to open up the same way with all of them, or do you do a bit of research in terms of, you know, what this person's story is and what's the best thing I can say, or is it a numbers game for you guys, or what?
That's a really good question. And the theory,
that's why I have a podcast.
Yeah, indeed. You should go into it. And the theory is that you should do research on everything. Now, almost as a side, one's sales style will work for the particular person, but it will differ from the person that they sit next to, and it will work for them. For example, more than one way to skin a cat, etc. You can sell the same product but totally different. So you've got to work out your own way of selling what you feel comfortable doing and what works. My own to actually answer the question, my own style is to actually, it is more of a numbers game for me. As long as I know that, so I've got a client that works in the manufacturing industry, sells to the manufacturing industry. So I know that they're all in manufacturing. I don't need to necessarily go onto their website, check out the exact products that they do, because primarily it takes time to do that. The other thing is, you make a phone call, the chance of you getting through to that particular person you want to speak to are, say, 1 in 10. So you might have done all this work and then just not spoken to the person anyway. And, you know, and these days, if I'm speaking to the person, I suddenly feel like I need to go onto their website, I can probably do it whilst I've got them on the call anyway. I don't personally do that. I know people do that, and it might be beneficial for them, but I have had success by not doing that, so that's what I do.
Well, your hand-eye coordination isn't great, and so it'd be hard for you, Patrick.
I misspell, I, you know, press return, and then the screen goes back, you know. It can be complicated.
Yeah, like you're on the wrong website, and you're like, so I've noticed that you sell, and they're like, what are you talking about? You know what? I'm really curious about these the different styles, because obviously you've seen a lot of callers and you've trained a lot of callers, and you're right, they're a different style. Let me tell you about, because I used to sell timeshare in the United States, in California. I used to cold call timeshare.
Did you?
And I was okay at it. You know, I wasn't getting fired, as a lot of people were getting fired every day. But there was this guy, who used to come in. He was an older gentleman, and he used to come in, whereas we all started at like 9 a.m. He started at like lunchtime.
Yeah.
And he'd come in and just real casual, he'd just like get on the phone and he'd make his sales and he'd like top the charts, and then he'd go home, make lots of money. But I remember hearing him on the phone one time, and he phoned this guy called Fred, cold call, and he was like, Fred, they said you were dead. They said you were dead, Fred. And the guy on the other end was like, what? And then he just like started talking to him, and he sold like timeshare, or he set up like the meeting for this timeshare stuff. And it was like, I just, you know, that's like 20 years ago and it stuck with me, because there's no way you'd ever train someone to talk like that or be like that over familiar or just weird.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, we're humans talking to humans. I suppose there isn't one right way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I came across a really funny video the other day of a guy who'd been very successful. So he was coming for a lot of money. It was a sales company. And they said, oh, how did you get around the gatekeeper? And he told a story whereby he would pretend that he was in the middle of an argument with someone and would shout. And this is when the gatekeeper picked up the phone. So the gatekeeper picks up the phone. He would pretend that he's midway through an argument. And his words were, just tell him I'm going to sue the fucking bastards. And then go, can I speak to so-and-so, please? And she'd be so shocked and like bewildered and sort of this guy's obviously a big shot. I will put you to the CEO. He said it worked for him. He said it absolutely worked for him. I could never do that.
It's not our personality.
It's not, and you've got to sell with your personality. You know, I'm gonna say a lot of cliches on this call, but people do buy from people. And if you're fake, it can often come across that way. So I'm all about just, you know, as Saki was saying, selling with integrity, being honest with people as much as you can. That leads into your own style. I work with a girl, and she has a very different. She actually probably does do a lot more research than me. And she's probably more organized than me as well, but it wouldn't be hard. But she does do a lot more research, and that works for her.
Yeah.
I don't feel I need to do that. I'll do what I can as much as possible to get what I want, and my style works for me. So
do you have a laugh on the phone like with people, because you are quite a, like, you're a bit of a messer, and you know, I have a lot of love for you, Patch. But you obviously have your business mode and you have your personal mode. When you're in business mode, are you like unrecognizable? Are you just all about the business? Are you all serious? Are you all? Is it different? Are you Patrick?
No, I'm Patch. I am definitely Patrick, because there'd be why is this dog phoning me called Patch? I personally do like to have a giggle with someone, because it gets more on side, and also, it's more enjoyable for you to be able to do that. It creates empathy a lot more. It shows that you're human. Again, people like buying from people that they like. So two ways. I mentioned the gatekeeper. Really try and get them on side as much as possible. So again, combining both a little bit of humor, and honesty. I get asked the question a lot. Have been asked the question a lot. Is he expecting your call? Does she know you? Have you spoken to them before? And I always tell the truth. So I always say, no, I haven't. What's it about? I say, it's a sales call. We do this. This is how we help companies. And I got told that they're the best person to speak to. You know, if they say, have you spoken to them before? I quite often would say, I'd love to say yes. I'd love to say yes. I have spoken to them. That they know what I'm calling about. But I don't, and I don't want to lie to you. So, look, it gets respect, but in respect, probably about 0.2%. But you do have a little bit of a giggle. Sometimes you don't, but, you know, that's.
I think there's a lot to be said about that kind of honesty, because actually I saw the Patrick that I know come out there, where you're saying, like, I'd love to tell you that I have spoken to them before, but I haven't. Like, I don't know if you know that or not, but that's a real you phrase where you're like, I'd love to tell you this, but. These gatekeepers you're talking to, well, I suppose anyone, there's a level of honesty which really adds to your call or your conversation. Like, one of the phrases that I always say is amazing is telling people I don't know. You know, if they ask you a question and you don't know the answer, rather than trying to waffle through it or cover it up or lie to them, if you say I don't know but I'll find out for you, people seem to really warm to that, because they can tell when you're being genuine or not genuine.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's so important to be able to do that. And we've all had calls where people have phoned up, and it's obviously it's a sales call, and you say, oh, can I And they're asking if you're CEO and you say, oh, can I ask what it's about? And they go, yeah, I just want to talk to him about so-and-so. And you say, and I have said before in the past, well, can I just ask you, is it sales call? And they go, no, it's just talking about this. And you're like, well, is that free? They say, no, it's not free. So it is a sales call. Tell me it's a sales call. I don't mind this sales call, but I just want to know. And if you go against people that have that style, then that's great because you come out as honest, and everyone wants to buy from honest people. You're more likely to get, in my opinion, you're more likely to get put through to the person if you do attempt try and get the gatekeeper on side, and it makes your life more enjoyable because you're not guessing. You know, the phone slammed down every time. Getting the gatekeeper on side definitely makes life a lot easier. And I think being honest and saying yes, it's a sales call, like, great,
yeah,
it's sales. There are millions of them happening every single minute. It's no big deal.
Yeah, the what I want you to explain to me, because this is a difficult one, but if you, your team, you know, your kind of industry is setting up meetings for other people.
Yeah.
How does that handover work? Because, you know, you're putting in a lot of work trying to get the person on the other side of the phone to say yes or whatever. And then you're saying, oh, but it's not me. I'm gonna palm you off to the person. How does that go down?
It's quite simple, really. I'll, depending on who it is I'm trying to get into the achieve meeting for, I'll either be two words, a colleague or my director. And I will say, my director has asked me to give you a call because we'd love to talk to you about how we help manufacturing companies with X, Y, and Z. I got told you're the right person to speak to. Is that the case? And then they'll go into it, and you'll find out a little bit more about their business. You'll ask some questions, and then again, it depends on how comfortable you feel doing it. I have often in the past said, this is what we do. My director would like to come and see you, and he wanted to see if you were free on this date or this date. And very often, well, not very often, but you know, successfully, ratio speaking wise, people start looking at their diary and go, yeah, I am actually free on that. And then you start asking questions about their business. I actually tend to do that less now, but I mean, I always say to people, who's my director, talk to them a bit about the business, as I say, and then say, okay, well, we'd love to come in on this date or this date, always offer an alternative date. Take it from there. So it's not that bit's not complicated. I would then send an invite to the person and copying in that my clients put it into their diaries, so everyone knows where they are, and then send an email to the client. So this is the situation with this appointment.
Well, it obviously works for you because you're successful. What are like some of your favorite questions that you'd ask people on this phone call? You know, do you find anything
how do I make you look good? Try and get them on side again. You're creating empathy. You're looking like you're a partner rather than you just want to flog them something. Always you want to get an idea of whether or not the person you're speaking to bought the original product or service, because if they did buy the original product, they're going to be a bit more sensitive about it because they don't want to be seen in front of their bosses that the previous service or product they bought didn't work, and now they're trying to get another one. It makes them look bad. So if they didn't buy it, then that's on that particular occasion, it's probably advantageous for you because they won't be precious about
it. They probably hate it.
They could hate it and say it's rubbish. I mean, yeah, we are looking for a new system. There are a fair few questions that you can get. How long have you had it? in place at the moment. You're just at this stage, at the beginning stage of asking the questions, you're just trying to sort of open up the pain that I spoke about earlier. Like, how can we fit our products around what your need is?
Yeah, it's like fact finding, you're trying to understand them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's all these questions. The questions are so vital. Not only does it make you look like you're trying to help them, that you're coming across in a really professional way. The biggest reason why you have to do it is because it helps you create an argument to why your product is going to help them. Without the argument, you've essentially got no argument to why. So that's why it's really important.
It's funny because we seem to spend a lot of time in sales and in the charity sector as well. We talk a lot about like the elevator pitch, and you know you've got 5 minutes. What would you say? But actually, it seems like what's much more effective is if we put some time into thinking, okay, what are the best questions to ask? What are the best, you know, how can we make this conversation move along, as opposed to how can you talk at someone for 5 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it's a cliche, but the old two ears, one mouth. So the ratio that you want to the ratio that you want to be going not cups. So the ratio that you want to go for is you are speaking 50% less than the person that you're speaking to on the phone. So these questions, so that's what you want to be getting at, because you need to get that argument. You need to be able to put in place the reasons to why they should buy from you. And if you don't know why they should buy from you because you've not asked any questions, then that puts you at a major disadvantage. So,
I like that. So, so you're obviously do you get like much negativity? And I mean, that's usually one of the bits I get where if I'm trying to get a charity to use the telephone more, to ask for money or to reach out to people, usually there's a bit of resistance, and often it comes from the feeling that people hate it and we're going to annoy people. But like, from having done these calls and having managed people who've done these calls, the negativity is a lot less than you almost assume it would be. Do you find that? Do you find people telling you to fuck off? Are people hanging up on you? What's happening?
Tell me to fuck off. I don't think so. Have had people pardon?
It's early days.
Yeah. I have definitely been hung up on. 100%. Because what you've got to understand, and I think you've almost got to get into a mindset we should expect negativity, but it's very easy for me to ignore the possible negative scenarios. And I understand that it's not easy for everybody. But as much as you possibly can do, like, you've got to be aware that people are busy, people have had bad days. Mm-hmm. The last thing they need is a sales call, but it's not personal. And that's where you've got to get into your head that if someone does hang up on you, they don't know you. They're not doing it because you're you or you've annoyed them or something. Awful. Well, you might have annoyed them, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not down to you. It's just because they might be having a bad day. And so don't worry about it. Move on to the next one. So
I have no impact on the next call. You know, the person who hangs up on you, it's not going to make any difference to the next call.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's I do think you need to get into mindset saying that not everyone is going to be open their arms to me. And if you can, as much as possible, get over that, then it will help you. But also the other thing is, it's come back to the reasons to why you can genuinely help them. Like, you have created take the charity sector, for example, but you have created strong. Let's use the brand recognition example again. You've created strong brand recognition for a number of charities. Why wouldn't they want to talk to you about that? At least talk to you about it. Open up a dialogue. I'm not saying that they should definitely there and then look to give you money. And I guess that's the other point, is don't necessarily go into these calls. Well, maybe it's different in the charity sector, but I don't necessarily go into these calls looking to sell to them on that particular call. Like, it takes a while to build up trust and credibility, etc. And so go into that call. The first call for me is about finding out, am I wasting my time trying to sell to this person? And if I'm not wasting my time sell to this person, then I want to sell to this person. And at that point, I will then bring out the questions and ask those series of questions about whether or not we're the right fit.
That makes sense. Do you think like telesales, if you want to call it, would you call it telesales? Using the telephone to sell. Do you think it's just going to decline and decline? Like, do you think we're going to move away from it? Or do you think, you know, what's coming in to replace it? Like, what's the future of this?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think as long as people have access, I think as long as businesses have phones in their business, then I think that there will always be a need. You will always be able to use cold calling as
it will always work.
Yeah. And it's like any direct mail is still one of the highest return investment marketing channels that you can use. And it's, I don't know, 100 years old, if not more. And everyone said direct mail is dead, but it's complete cobblers. I remember about 5 years ago now, working for a company, and Google sent us all vouchers through the mail. And you just think, well, if Google are doing direct mail, yes, there's got to be something in
there. And Twitter emails you, and like Facebook phones you, and do you know, it's all these things that are kind of saying they're replacing something. They all use that old media because it still works.
Yeah, and I still think, and I don't think I'll ever not think this, but I still think a business should have people that are accessible by the phone, customer service reasons for more than anything. And it might get harder. Mobiles might be, you might just have a mobile, but I still think people do want to speak to people. As long as that's the case, then sort of telesales will always be, appointment setting by phone will always be, you'll always be able to do it.
Yeah, even if it moves away from like the old school phone, big network masts, and it's all going through online, and it's like not so much phone numbers, but it's like connecting people through the internet, it's still voice.
Yeah,
there's always going to be a place for voice, because that's just how we work as humans.
Exactly. Nothing more to say on that. I think as long as you can have access to someone to speak to them, then this medium is always going to be valid.
I agree. There's that I don't want to keep you too long, but I also wanted to ask you, because what popped into my head was, obviously you've worked for a lot of businesses and a lot of clients, but you have a special relationship with John Lewis, don't you? John Lewis customer service.
So for the listeners out there, I used to live next to John Lewis in the town that I grew up in, and what Si is referring to is when a lady phoned up my house phone and I picked up, and she started talking to me about how she had a problem with her order. It was a wrong size. It was a wrong fit. What am I going to do about this? And I'm just a 12-year-old kid at home listening to this politely going, oh man, when is this lady going to shut up? And I can interrupt her, tell her that I'm not the person if she phoned the wrong number. So she finally stopped talking and I said, I'm sorry, you've actually phoned the wrong number. And she said, well, you've wasted my time then, haven't you? And I was like, oh my God, I am going to go into a rage. And I said,
Didn't you used to get calls all the time?
All the time.
Your phone number was like what? Just like one digit differently?
Yeah, it must have been. I must have been. Yeah. It is surprising how many people can't read a telephone number or have or misdial.
Their dialing stick, their poking dialing stick is.
It's gone off target.
Your fingers are too fat for this number.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. But yeah, that was a particularly good one when I was accused of wasting her time.
I wonder if that shaped your career path, that kind of phone experience of dealing with these random people.
It just made me want to help people via the phone. maybe it did. I don't know.
All right. I found that really helful because, I always find you really helpful in terms of picking your brains around business and stuff like that. You're a smart guy.
Sorry, I've interrupted you. You go.
No, I was just complimenting you. It's not important. Go for it.
Okay, thank you. Damn, I interrupted a compliment. Never do that. But I think the takeaway is that don't try and be that sales guy that nobody likes, because you need people on side to get you where you want to get to achieve that goal. So, you know, it's a lot nicer being nice to someone like a gatekeeper who's taking 20 calls that day already and being honest with them up front to why you're calling. And don't treat people like idiots because they're not, and people yeah. respect that. So I think that for me has worked a lot of my sales career. And don't get me wrong, I probably did go down the alternative route and didn't like it and didn't get very far and quickly changed. So yeah.
Well, you've got the years behind you where I suppose you've fine tuned your craft, and I suppose anyone can do that. You know, if people put the time, put the energy into these kind of phone calls, they work for them. But it's not something that just comes naturally. It's a skill that we develop, and I think you're an expert in that area. It's cool.
Thanks for them. Yeah. Thanks very much, and thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time, Patch. I know you're a busy man. If people want to get in touch with you or have a few questions to ask you, because you're a very helpful person and you put a lot out there in terms of training and teaching, where do we find you, Patrick Allen?
Please ask away. So the best way to get me is my email address, which is patrick.allen@prosperbd.co.uk, and Allen is Allen. So that's Patrick, Patrick @prosperbd.co.uk. And also
Jesus, I'm on Christ, that's like the most complicated way of giving an email address I've ever heard.
A lot of people get it wrong because misspelling. Well, so also LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn.
Say it one more time from start to finish. Patrick.Allen.
There we go. See, say more. Patrick.Allen
at prosperbd.co.uk.
.co.uk. Yeah,
that's good. And then where else are you?
So LinkedIn. So if you type in Patrick Allen LinkedIn, Prosper Business Development, I'll come up. And also I'll have you can edit that bit. I was going to talk about the website, but
your brand new website is about to be launched.
Yeah, so my brand new website is about to be launched. The address for that is prosperbd.co.uk.
Yeah, but if it's between pages, when someone goes onto it, they can just email you.
Yeah, they can. Yeah,
I think I heard one of your kids in the background, and so that's signal that it's time to wrap up.
That is mad because I think they're downstairs, but I believe they are.
It's that piercing noise which just carries through the house.
If it's not them, then God knows we're going.
Some kid broke into your house about to.
That would be a story. Yeah, cool. All right, fella.
Well, yeah, thanks a million for your time, Pat. Really lovely to talk to you, as always. And sure, I'll talk to you soon.
No worries. How does it work now? Do you get these? Just send out the final version online or on your website?
You know, we're still doing it.
Yeah, but you can edit this bit out.
No, I'm going to keep it in. Yeah, so you'll be published probably next week or the next couple of weeks, and I'll tag you when I put it up there, and Spotify and iTunes and Podbean and wherever you get your podcast, Pat.
Do I see it before it goes out?
Because then people always have stuff. Do you know? Yeah. Whereas you're great, like you're amazing, but you'll always pick holes in yourself.
That's cool. Yeah.
What are you into?
Oh, you won't like it, so it's football. But I listen to how I built this. You know how I built this?
No,
it's really good by Guy Raz. It's about all businesses and how they, what they did to get to where they got to.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. How I Built This by Guy Raz, I think his name is.
Guy's the real sales name, isn't it?
Guy.
This is Guy.
How I Built. Yeah, I work with a guy. How I Built. Yeah, Guy Raz. How I Built This. It's really good.
But now I am actually going to wrap this up. Because you're waiting and I'm getting hungry. So Patrick, Allen, very nice to see you. Very nice to talk to you.
Likewise, Simon Scriber. Peace out. See you, mate. Okay. Bye, bye.
You've been listening to Simon Scriber's Amazingly Ultimate Fundraising Superstar Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and head over to changefundraising.com to learn more. We'll be right back.
What's up, fundraisers? This is Simon Scriver.
And this is Nikki Bell, and we are the founders of the virtual fundraising conference, Fundraising Everywhere.
And we have just launched Fundraising Everywhere membership. So if you want full access to the virtual conference every November, if you want full access to the Fundraising Everywhere festival in May, if you want bonus downloads, if you want access to extra sessions, if you want access to VIP events, if you want access to all of my masterclasses online, if you want Pizza for Losers discount, if you want all this stuff and loads more, and a whole bunch of other stuff, which we can't even cram into this tiny podcast ad. But if you want part of that, then go to fundraisingeverywhere.com, become a member, be part of the family, pay a small monthly membership fee to us, and you'll get all of this stuff.
Will that do?